This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, and if you want to go quick, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Napa Auto Tech's team of ASC Master Certified Instructors are conducting over 1,200 classes covering 28 automotive topics. To see a selection, go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. Today, I would like to talk about Ubuntu. I'll say it again. Ubuntu. Maybe I'll say it one more time. Ubuntu. I didn't make up that word. I swear to God. I didn't make it up. It's a real word. It's not really an American word. It's an African word. And I have not been to Africa. A friend of mine insists he's going to have me down, but we'll see. I actually stole it, believe it or not. I was watching a documentary. One of my favorite pastimes, although if we started talking about my favorite pastimes, we'd be here a long time. Anyways, there's a documentary on HBO on the Boston Celtics. I don't know. I get a kick out of watching sports stuff. I like sports. I do. I don't know that I'm just all about it. Like right now, I'm not clearing out the living room and making sure I'm left alone to watch the NBA playoffs. I keep tabs of things. I watch highlights. There's certain players I keep an eye on. Not just NBA, but basketball-wise, the WNBA with Caitlin Clark. It's kind of following what's going on there. And part of the reason I like that is something that Chris Jones and I talked about when he was on the podcast, which would be around episode 134. He was on, and we talked about the link to sports and business, and it's not worth getting into any more than that, because the parallels are pretty obvious, and then there's the shortcomings. And I get a kick out of watching or reading anything about dynasties or teams that are just historically successful. Boston Celtics are historically successful. The Los Angeles Lakers are historically successful. The San Antonio Spurs are starting to become and could become historically successful. If we go to football, the Dallas Cowboys at one point you would say were historically successful, or the San Francisco 49ers are maybe even a better example. And we'll wait and see about the Patriots. I mean, don't get me wrong, didn't they win like 7 Super Bowls? So that's quite a history. But you had one person involved, right? The whole time, or two, arguably, with the coach, Belichick, and then, of course, Tom Brady. Now that they're gone, does the franchise put together another championship team? This is something we've seen from the Boston Celtics. We've seen from the Los Angeles Lakers. That's interesting to me. Why? What do they do? And I don't say that out of like disrespect for the Chicago Bulls, but that's different. So what do they do that's so different? And so I like watching that. And it was multi-part series, and it went way back to how it got started. And of course, you have Bill Russell and the way he played, unwittingly, I'm sure, to him, although he was extremely educated. I don't know. You never heard it mentioned, was Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a African word that really means humanity to others, or I am successful, or I am who I am because of who you are or who we are together because you're successful. And that's the heart of it. I guess I'll reference it back to the where it was used in this documentary was a few years back. Boston was kind of faltering. Things were, I guess, kind of going sideways. They had a superstar named Reggie Lewis who tragically passed away from a heart condition. And they were kind of building, right? So Reggie Lewis was kind of the next in line to be that superstar after Larry Bird. Larry Bird had retired. Larry Bird's body had broken down. and they were trying to build back a championship squad. It was going to build around this gentleman, and that gets stolen away from them. That, through some trades and controversial trades at that, Boston brings in what they would call the big three. I don't think you have to be a big basketball fan to care, but you have Paul Pierce, who is already there, drafted. Then you have Kevin Garnett, who those of us in Minnesota probably remember from his days with the Wolves, Timberwolves. And then Ray Allen. And they surrounded them with a bunch of role players and the good basketball players. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the reality is it's the NBA. The NBA sucks, right? It's just, what a ridiculous idea to think that there's ever been somebody that's ever been under contract by a professional team that they actually weren't good. But after bringing them in and signing the contracts and introducing everybody to the media, the coach, Doc Rivers, pulls these three. They're going to be the leaders. Pulls those three in the office, his office, quite literally, and looks them all three in the eyes and goes, "What are you willing to give up?" Meaning, all three can't take all the shots. They're going to have to do a lot of the intangibles. They're going to have to give up scoring to let another one score. They're going to have to give up offense and concentrate on defense so that the others can succeed if the goal is to win. And I hope, if you're like me, as I'm rattling this stuff off, your BS meter is pegged, because the big difference is they've all signed contracts, big contracts. Money, I guess, unless they're not wise with spending, okay. But money is not a thing, right? They don't have to worry about money. And honestly, the three of them didn't have to worry about their contracts with the team either, right? They have other income streams. Ray Allen did some acting. Of course, endorsements. So money is just not a thing. Compensation is not a thing. Paying their bills, providing for their families, like, they're already reasonably generational wealthy, or generationally wealthy. Is that the way you would say that? It's not a thing. So now it can be all about winning. Doesn't have to be the stats. Their contracts probably don't have, you're going to get this bonus if you score over 2,000 points this year, or whatever that may be. All about winning. Focus on winning. The money is already taken care of. Not even worried about it. We're going to get some help around you, and what can we do to win, and what are you guys willing to do to win? Check your egos at the door. That's not our world, right? I just don't think most of us get to work, sit down with the boss, get pitched an idea of, what are you willing to give up for the betterment of the business? What are you willing to give up so that others can succeed, and that thus we succeed? And oh, by the way, like, money's, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of you. That's really not our world. It's really would take an investment on our part, meaning, I don't know if investment's the right word. It would definitely be an investment. It'd be a lot of risk. Imagine showing up to work. Hey, got a big meeting today. Everybody gather around. Ubuntu. Huh? Ubuntu. Huh? I succeed because you succeed. I am better because you're doing better. I want to see you do well because in turn I will do well. Well, that's a great pitch, but then what? So we don't have that, right? That's the investment. That's the risk on our part, is if I buy into this, there's going to be a payoff. And then if we're categorically improving, do I see that? And because I've said that, I've outed one of my concerns with this. My concerns when we have these meetings, and it's all about the team, it's all about the business, it's not personal, it's not individual. If the business does better, we all do better. And my fear is, money makes people weird. Napa Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in Napa Auto Tech. that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Autotech's entry-level Build a Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Autotech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Autotech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Autotech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Autotech Training. Money makes people do really, really odd things. I've seen or read or heard where they say money just amplifies many things, good and bad. It amplifies the bad and it amplifies selfishness. And the concern is, unless things are really in writing and there's levels of accountability, and I'm not trying to imply that every manager, every shop owner is greedy. I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of the times when they are thought of as being greedy, that's not the truth. It's just the shop's not that successful, right? Maybe you guys can send me an email or send me a Facebook message about how a shop owner who has a nice big house in a gated community or just a nice great big house, beautiful, all brand new cars, toys, side-by-sides, muscle car, boat, snowmobiles, four-wheelers, just all of the things. And all of that. And they got a cabin and they go on these just extravagant vacations and the employees can barely make ends meet. I just don't know many of that. I can't think of one off the cuff. I can think of shop owners that have that stuff, but as far as I know, their employees, especially the ones that have been with them for a while or and higher up the hierarchy, if you will, they're all doing very, very well for themselves. I just can't think of one that the shop's killing it. They're killing it. They got all of the things for success and they're not sharing it. Maybe you do. Maybe you absolutely know that person. I don't know. The ones that I think try to be that way oftentimes are into debt up to their eyeballs and they're trying to look the part, but the money's really not there. But now the shop is successful. Ubuntu is working. Everybody is sacrificing. Everybody is looking out for the success of their colleagues, looking out for the success of their coworkers. If I can help you succeed, that means the shop will succeed. That means I will succeed. And the fear is, if it is a bit of a struggle before such a system is put into place, such a philosophy is employed and sold and everybody's buying into it, that when the money does start rolling in, it does get hard to share. Because while I don't think they're outright greedy, some struggle, really, really struggle with writing out whatever it would be, bonus checks, profit sharing checks, like they're looking at it all going, wow, a couple of years ago, this would have all been going into my account. It's true. And we'll pick on techs too, or really anybody that makes money. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's safe with this. But how many families have you seen destroyed by money? How many people do you know that are a part of a family where a matriarch or patriarch or whatever died, they left money and the kids fight over it? and what seemed like just this cohesive unit, this just textbook family, they don't talk to each other anymore. I know far too many. I would argue that if some of the siblings, if you will, my parents' siblings weren't as successful as they were, or they really didn't need money, you could have watched one self-destruct. Or it would have been really, really chippy there for a while. Like, relationships would have been hurt. And so I have a lot of misgivings about that. I have a lot of hesitation with when money gets involved and people make really interesting choices. And the same goes for employees too, right? Now I've dangled this carrot. All of a sudden, does some of the integrity go out the window? Not so much the Ubuntu trying to help you succeed. It's kind of hard to do that with ulterior motives that result in just massive paydays for an individual, right? It's everybody. Everybody will do better, including the shop. Like, it's not just about paychecks too, right? It's about having the funds to improve the shop itself, better equipment, better working conditions, etc., better lighting, climate control, newer equipment, newer hoists. All the hoists are 30 years old. That is not nothing either. Like, yeah, I get it. I want more money so I can get some of my own toys, or gosh darn it, I've built up quite a bit of vacation. I'd like to have enough money to go enjoy it somewhere other than home doing projects around the house. And I'm not, we have to have this mention that, yeah, you can probably make whatever amount and spend more than that amount. Okay. I think that's just, you understood. That concept is not lost on anyone. But fundamentally, you have to make so much versus the cost of living. I have hesitations with it, but when it really comes down to brass tacks, that's what I really enjoy, is that type of the idea of, instead of focusing on the individual, instead of focusing on ourselves, focusing on the business itself, focusing on my coworkers, what makes them more successful. And some of it is trying to get them better equipment. Some of it is trying to streamline processes. Some of it is just relocating stuff to make their job easier. Some of it's trying to give them joy and work. And then I think it's helping to expand skill sets. I think many shops unwittingly breed cultures of keeping certain things close to the chest that one could actually train themselves out of a job. That is not a good culture to have. I mean, that's kind of my pitch. Ubuntu. I succeed because of your success. I can be who I am, what I am, where I am, because of who we are, what we are, where we are together. But to have such a program, to have such a philosophy, it has to get backed up. As a leader, as a manager, as an owner, you have to back it up. You have to show where everything's at. Maybe not details, and maybe it is details. The details matter? I don't know. Being open with it. And when things are starting to work, showing how it's improving everything. And then, yeah, back it up with, because of this, now we can do this. Because of this, now I can do that. Can't be this big sales pitch to check our egos at the door, to give freely, share freely, give up hours, whatever it is, so that coworkers and colleagues can succeed, because that way we will all succeed, and then not back it up. And that's slightly different than sports, in that there are a lot of really, really, really good teams that never won. And by win, I mean they didn't win championships, right? If you're an 80s basketball team, the chances of winning were really low because you had LA and Boston at the peak of their powers. And the NFL was really hard to win because back in the 2000s, you had the Patriots, right? It's tough to squeeze one in there. You can have some very, very good teams that don't win a championship, but that's not what we have in businesses anyways, or at least our businesses, there isn't like a, just a championship. There's not this one peak, apex or whatever of the hierarchy. It's, can we profit? Can we make money? And for that, yeah, we can all succeed. It's not a zero-sum game, not even close. The successful shops don't have to bury the other shops. Everybody can move up. Everybody can be profitable. So that is how I will leave you. If you get a chance, you have access to HBO, HBO Max, check out the documentary. You don't have to like basketball. You don't. But man, you could learn a lot from Bill Russell. The guy won 11 championships. Think about that. He has more titles, more rings, if you will, than he has fingers. That is unbelievable. In a team sport, the franchises, the success over time, multiple coaches, different owners, different managers, different players, they succeed. And it's not like Boston's some big freaking market, right? It's not like the Yankees, where it's arguably the largest market, continue to win, continue to compete. What can we borrow from that? And I think it's Ubuntu, and get everybody on the same page, working together and realizing the benefits of it, that it's backed up. There's accountability to ownership, to management, to deliver. So that's how I will leave you. Thank you again for all the questions that keep rolling in. Please don't hesitate to send them. The email address is mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can fire off messages to me on Facebook Messenger. I try to respond to everything. Maybe your stuff ends up on the podcast. And also, even if it isn't questions or ideas, if you want to be on the podcast, please don't hesitate to send that email, send that message. Somebody that needs to be on, working on it, is Bob Leonard. So Bob, I'm not forgetting about you. I think there's an episode with yours and Brandon Steckler's and my name on it. So we're going to make that happen, man. Yeah. Thank you to Napa Auto Tech Training for sponsoring. And thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network, who, even though they have Craig O'Neill, I still thank them for making this all possible. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.